God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This ends our first reading, and our second comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 45. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud, in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This ends our second reading. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thank you, Ashley. I got a little emotional there too, thinking just about how this is such a beautiful community as we gather and hear Holy Scripture together. And before I enter into a prayer, did y'all, as Miss Kathy talked about the greatest gift, did y'all immediately go back to like those, like, "Oh my gosh, that's the best gift ever"? Did y'all ever have one of those moments? Yeah? Would you like to hear mine? Okay, so I was in college, 20 years old, and now mind you, I was 20, so my sisters were 8, 6, and 4, so we got up really early on Christmas morning, and so, you know, we opened up Santa gifts, we opened up family gifts, and then my parents said, "There's one more gift," and they gave me a little box, and I opened up the box, and inside was a car key. And I said, "Oh, this is lovely." And they said, "You know, it's outside." And I looked at the key. Do y'all ever just immediately look to see which make and model it is? Right? Like, I'm looking at this. I'm like, "Oh, so they got me a Chrysler or a Plymouth, just like they have. That's awesome." But anyway, I was just like, "A car? Are you kidding? It's got to be better than the station wagon I'm driving." So I go outside at 5 o'clock in the morning. Remember, we got up really, really early. And in the driveway was a vehicle parked or wrapped bumper to bumper in Christmas paper. Literally. Bumper to bumper in Christmas paper. And if you saw this car in the driveway wrapped bumper to bumper in paper, where would you tear the paper off first? The driver's door, the front. I ripped off the front, which immediately told me what car it was and what color it was, and it was exactly what I had hoped and dreamed for. And then, of course, I'm screaming, jumping up and down in the driveway, and come out to find my dad had wrapped it in our neighbor's garage and tried to drive it completely wrapped. So anyway, to say that that was the best Christmas gift ever, it absolutely was. And he was out there on Christmas Day teaching me how to drive a manual transmission because I did not know how to do that either. So gotta love it for dads. But it was a Volkswagen Jetta red manual transmission, which was like exactly what I had wanted. You know, I had it for 7 days and then drove to West Virginia and had to drive the mountains and the hills. Oy vey, new manual transmission driver, but I got over that, right? But yeah, definitely, you know, I don't know that there will ever be another moment that kind of topped that one for me personally, although I do get the joy and excitement when I see that delight in the eyes of those to whom we give gifts. And so that is what I love a lot. But obviously the best gift we've all received is who? Jesus, that's right. So will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, thank you for this gathering of folks that want to be here in your presence, who delight in the gift that is Jesus. In this season of Advent, as we wait and ponder the birth of a Savior, we live in this space and time of the inbreaking of your kingdom. Because in this announcement, we knew that God was to be with us, and God is with us, and God will be with us forever. And so as we ponder the scripture and the story of Mary and Joseph, Holy Spirit, descend upon us to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. That the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So hope is worth the risk. So if you've been journeying along with us, we've had quilt squares that we've added each week. And if you remember, we started with what? Hope, peace, joy, and now today we talk about love. And it's the story of Mary and Joseph. And oftentimes we fast forward to the birth narrative, right? Where Caesar calls for a census and they have to travel to the hometown of Joseph, to Bethlehem to be counted because they want to know how much taxes to collect, right? Based on the number of people they have. And we hear that story on Christmas Eve, but there were things that happened before that are crucial to that narrative for that birth story. And it's about Mary and it's about Joseph. And so let's start with Joseph. So Joseph was betrothed to Mary. They were going to be joined in union. And then he hears that Mary is pregnant. But they really hadn't lived that married life together yet. And so the custom in that culture would have been to stone the woman for adultery, for marital relations outside of the marital covenant. Now that seems like a pretty awful thing to do to someone, and especially to Mary, who was going to bear the Son of God. And but Joseph, being a righteous man, decides not to do the public shaming, but rather to divorce her quietly and end the relationship. Now, I imagine that in a difficult situation like that, it probably took him some time to get to that decision. Significant spiritual wrestling within to discern that next step. And so, having made that decision, he is visited in his dream by an angel. Now, we know that angels tend to be messengers of God, right, to convey some truth. And there are some that visited during the day, as we heard with Mary, right, that she was visited by the angel and pronounced to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you're going to bear the Son of God." But for Joseph, he gets and message from God in his dreams. And that message again is, do not be afraid, for the child that Mary carries is the Son of God, and you will call him Emmanuel. Marry her, all will be well. And convicted of that, do you ever wake up in the morning and you can't quite remember your dreams? And then there are some that stick with you. I'm sure that this is the one that definitely stuck with Joseph. You know, that he got up and he realized, wow, that truly was a message from God, and decided to continue in that marital promise to Mary. And so we see this beautiful illustration of a righteous man who could have leaned into the cultural norms, but chose to go a riskier, different path. That the shame that would have fallen on Mary, he took upon himself to continue that relationship with her. And so what would have ostracized her could have ostracized him and his position within the communities. But he was willing to do that because he trusted in the message from God. So then you have Mary. Now, there are so many different ways that you can preach the Magnificat, which is what this is. And let's put it in time scale, right? So Mary is visited by an angel and is overcome by the Holy Spirit and conceives the Son of God. And upon hearing this news, where does she go? She goes to her cousin Elizabeth, right, who is also carrying a child, who will be John the Baptist, preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus later. It's really a story of two babes, right? And when that contact came, the baby within Elizabeth's womb jumped, knowing and recognizing the child within Mary's womb, that they were connected even in the midst of the womb waters and would then be so important to proclamation of the good news. And so Elizabeth says, surely you are blessed because you are carrying my Savior in your womb, right? So that's, we know that that has happened. So Mary's response is the Magnificat, right? And she's talking about this hope and this expectation of how the son, this baby that she is carrying, is going to turn the world upside down. It's going to challenge the powers and principalities to look at where there is oppression so that things can be made right, to look at injustices and to make sure that they do not harm God's people, right? She's saying this, and I love this. And there's good news for you. I didn't make you sing this, but you can actually sing the Magnificat to God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Did you know that? Yeah, it's kind of a neat thing. And there was one Sunday that I was guest preaching at a United Church of Christ near Pittsburgh. And I said, hey, does anybody know this tune? Could you sing this? And impromptu, two ladies began to sing Mary's Magnificat to this tune. And it completely changed my understanding that it just isn't words, but of a song of praise and acclamation to God, right? And it's just this beautiful story that my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because God has looked on me, a low servant. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, scattered the proud, right? And brought down those who are on earthly thrones. And the promises made so long ago to Abraham to gather a people that would be so numerous that they would far outweigh the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. That promise is coming to fruition through Jesus, the very child that Mary is carrying at great risk to her. herself. Remember what I told you about Joseph, that she was betrothed, and the penalty for her carrying this child outside of wedlock would have been stoning and death. And yet she continued forth, and didn't just continue forth, she shouted acclamation to God about how God had had favor looking upon her. Both Joseph and Mary are in this incredibly tenuous time of taking really, really difficult circumstances and clinging on to the hope that God is working in and through it all. Hope is worth the risk. Today in this world, I don't know, y'all. I feel beat down all the time. I mean, I do. I hear something else and I'm like, how long, Lord, is this going to happen? You know, and for us, even though we know that God is in the midst and God doesn't make things, bad things happen to good people, we still sit there and think, how is this going to be resolved? How is this going to get better? And that's in the world, but then I know that we are all carrying our own things. That there are places where maybe we've lost loved ones and our hearts still ache because we miss those people who are so important to us. Or we're walking on difficult medical journeys. We know people who are getting diagnoses for cancer, and cancer does not discriminate. And it is so difficult to walk through that journey. And I'm sure that as the medications hit and their body is ravaged so that it can be healed, there's also pain and discomfort. And this wonder of like, is this ever going to get better? That's when we come and hear the story of Joseph. That's when we come and hear the story of Mary, because in difficult circumstances, that is illustration of the hope that they clung to and to the riskiness of moving forward to bear the Savior into the world. Now imagine if Joseph had turned Mary away. We don't know where Joseph would have been, or Jesus would have been born, right? Because it was Joseph who was the key to getting Mary to Bethlehem, right? Did y'all ever think about that? Like if Joseph had said, I'm done, we would have no idea where Jesus would have been born. Maybe he still would have been born in Bethlehem, but certainly not under the protection of a righteous, God-fearing man who was willing to take on the risk and shame of a young, pregnant, unwed mother who risked both of their lives to take Jesus once born into safety by leaving the land that they knew. To give this child the life that God had foreordained, right? Where are you in your life where you need to cling on to hope? Where it is risky to do that? It might be a significant life change. It might be a job change. It might be a move of location, right? It might be deciding next steps for young children, or I'm looking at Garrett. He's getting somewhere close to being done with college, right? How much longer do we have? One semester. Do you know what he's worried about? Am I going to have a job when this is over? Right? Am I right? Yeah. And guess what John and Lori are worrying about? Is Garrett going to have a job when this is over, or is he going to move back in? Right? Like, these are the things that we hold on to, and that seems like such a trivial thing, but it's not, because it is a life shift and change. I'm looking at my youth, the youth that are back here taking care of our younger kids. Where do we need to cling on to hope and take risks to provide them community of faith and love and hope and peace and joy? That's risk-taking ministry, firmly rooted in the hope found in God. So it's not just about Mary and Joseph. It's not just about the story of the birth of a Savior. It's about how we live our lives today in light of those stories, where we cling on to hope and step out in risk, claiming the promise that God had given so long ago. Friends, hope is worth the risk. Thanks be to God.